from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When does Bill Belichick coach again, and with whom? That is a fantastic question. I know this. Bill Belichick intends to coach in 2025. He's staying engaged in the game. He's showing up to roasts. He's now going to be on Inside the NFL. We've seen him showing up to different events and high school, you know, at the Manning Passing Academy. I would anticipate that he's out. We saw him at the University of Washington, where his son Steve now is the defensive coordinator. He'll be out. He'll be trying to better himself. He'll be trying to remind you that he's not Darth Vader, that there's more to Bill Belichick. He's done a good job of that so far. There's media stuff. I will say, or to answer the question,
handicap it.
He's fully invested in, he wants to coach again. He wants to pursue the all-time wins record. Those are things that really matter a lot to Bill Belichick.
That was Tom Pelissero yesterday, or a couple days ago, on the Rich Eisen Show. I am Chris Curtis. This is Ken and Curtis. Ken Laird is safely ensconced in Cooperstown, New York, as the Hall of Fame beckons for our own Joe Castiglione. The long-awaited induction of the long-time, lifelong play-by-play voice of your Boston Red Sox, Joe Castiglione, is rightfully this afternoon, I believe. Shime is in for Ken. Good morning, Shimer.
Good morning, Curtis. How are you today?
I am great. Have you ever been to Cooperstown, Shime?
I have. I went once probably like 12, 13 years ago.
I went a couple times. One of the coolest places, great memories, lifelong memories. I went with my old neighbor, Garrett. And I think it's Lake Oswego. I don't know. There's like a really nice hotel that we didn't stay in. I think the power brokers of Odyssey Boston and Odyssey, I think Mark Cannon is like the second most powerful man in the world. More powerful than Biden doesn't take much now. But they are all staying. Our fearless leader, Ken, his boss, Mike Thomas, and our boss's boss, Mark Cannon, are all staying in some like Best Western in Cooperstown right now. There should be live video footage of our three leaders. But that's the love they have, a Joe Castiglione. They're all going to be up there today. I went there as a kid a couple times, and we went on a pontoon boat on the lake, which was a blast. Nice. When you get into the hall at that time, God, it was probably like It was when Mike Schmidt was inducted. That's how long ago that was.
Okay, good job.
There was a manager inducted, and I don't remember what else, but there was also a Hall of Fame game with two baseball, you know, major league teams. There was a home run derby, and Cecil Fielder was part of it.
Oh, nice.
But when you got into the Hall of Fame, there was a, if on the ticket, which they probably don't have anymore, although given the crowd strike problems, maybe everybody's going to go back to paper tickets. It said autograph session, and if it said that on your ticket, you got to go to an autograph session with every living Hall of Famer signing for free for the same price as the ticket.
That's awesome.
So I have, like, Tommy Lasorda. I have, you know, Phil Rizzuto. I have, I don't even know, Pete Rose was on the outside, but it was, like, up and down the list
That's
of
awesome.
Hall of Famers, and they couldn't have been nicer, and it was just a, it felt like, even then, like, time stood still. I'm sure it's pretty similar now. So if you're heading up there this weekend, enjoy it. If you haven't been, it's a great take. It's a fun weekend, especially if you have young kids. But that was Tom Pelissero talking about Bill Belichick. And we sit here, Shaim, a couple days away from the start of a brand new day.
Oh, I can't wait.
And for a generation, since 1999, since we were preparing for Y2K, we have not had a camp in Foxborough. That would have been at Bryan College in Smithfield, Rhode Island, without Bill Belichick or Tom Brady. So
basically my entire sports life, like my sports memories basically only date back to the 2001 Super Bowl.
It is absolutely wild. And so then we didn't know what Bill Belichick was going to be. And candidly, the Patriots had a pretty similar place in the Boston sports landscape. It was not the biggest story. The Red Sox, I would even say the Celtics and the Bruins may have been ahead of the Patriots when Belichick came in. The NFL really hadn't had the stranglehold over America that it has now. And you had Drew Bledsoe just getting paid. You had a Michael Bishop. And you had a team that was 8-8. Reeling after the Super Bowl appearance with Bill Parcells. You had three lackluster years with Pete Carroll, each year less wins than the one before it. And Bill Belichick was traded. He gets here. And there was just nothing but question marks. And we sit here today, Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, a bunch of meh offensive weaponry, a very talented defense, but unknowns at the coach, unknowns at the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and really an unknown as to what the direction the organization is going to take.
Yeah, especially because it's just with the new guy in charge being Elliott Wolf, we're also still trying to figure out exactly if it was Bill with that was unwilling to spend, if it was Robert. So are they really going to be invested in really trying to go out in free agency and in trades and acquire players? Or are they going to do things the way Bill always did because that's what Robert dictated? And you can't spend a lot of money. You have to find diamonds in the rough. Good luck. You're on your own. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see their approach to building a competitive roster again, because that's what you need at this point. You need a legitimately competitive roster, and luckily you're left with a competitive defense. However, the offense still has a lot of question marks. You know, I'm one of the people that very much believe in Drake May, but there are a lot of people out there who don't believe in Drake May. You even yourself have a lot of questions about Drake May.
Right.
So we're at a point right now where it is, I think to me, that's the most important thing is how is this organization going to spend and build a roster going forward?
This is why Ayuk being out there, and, you know, you might call it a pipe dream, of course, probably, but what we have seen and what every Patriots fan has mocked for the last generation is quarterback after quarterback being selected in the top 10 by a division rival, and then that quarterback being ruined, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's, you know, up and down the list of every single J.P. Lossman and loser after loser after loser, every, you know, Mark Sanchez. I mean, you go up and down the list, and he was probably one of the better ones.
Josh Rosen.
I mean, they all sucked. And it wasn't that the quarterbacks were awful. Maybe some of them were. It's that they were in an organization that went through offensive coordinator, that went through head coaches, that didn't have the proper offensive line, that didn't have the support system that was a prerequisite. You know, we always talk about, you know, Tom or Bill. Well, it turns out Tom was drafted by a competent organization with an excellent starting quarterback that helped him even when he became a backup, and a firm locker room of leaders, whether it was Willie McGinnis or Ty Law or Teddy Bruschi or Mike Vrabel or all those guys, where we didn't know it yet because they weren't good enough and they hadn't really put it all together. But in hindsight, it was pretty clear the early dynasty of the New England Patriots was built with, obviously, a quarterback that turned into the greatest of all time, but relied upon all those other factors. And those have been absent for the other organizations. And when you have coaches that need to win now to save their job, they rush players.
Always.
And then you have a GM that needs the player to pop that they took in the first round. You have all of these conflicting timelines that are not based upon who's ready and why they're ready and are we able to support them. And so that's going to be the biggest story this year. Nothing else matters. Can Gerard Mayo coach and can Drake May play? Nothing else is going to make an ounce of a difference.
Yeah, and you mentioned it right there, too. One of the big things for young quarterbacks is that nature versus nurture. It's like, you know,
nature always wins. What movie?
Is that a Twister?
Wedding Crashers.
Carry on. Okay, anyways. So it's that nature versus nurture. And like 60 to 70% of all quarterbacks that get drafted in the first round are talented. In one way or another, they are talented. They clearly were able to do it at the college level and at levels before that. But the issue is when you get drafted to crappy organizations that have so much turnover and so much chaos, it sometimes just doesn't matter. And that's why you see so many of them just kind of fizzle out and disappear, because there's just not the right opportunity. And then you get guys like Josh Allen who are in stable situations with a team that may not be good when they drafted him, but they build over time, they start to acquire, they see there's a little something in that quarterback, they see potential, they have stability at the head coaching position. They're not just like, you know, pulling the trigger every time you have one losing season. It's okay, Sean McDermott, you're in this for the long haul, that's fine. And then it's like, okay, we see some promise in the quarterback, let's go get the receiver, and boom, you're a playoff team and he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. Like, it's moments like that where it's like, okay, it's the stability. It is the ability to have some foresight and have some, you know, composure when it comes to really just allowing the coach to build the organization how he sees it in his image. That's why teams that have coaches that last for long times are so successful, because the coach has been able to build that team in his image. And so it's going to be important for the Patriots to allow Gerard Mayo that time as well. He may struggle.
Nature versus nurture, Lodge. Nature always wins.
Thank you.
He may struggle early,
no,
but
no notches, beltless. here's the other thing, though, Shimer. So there are certain quarterbacks that, because Sean McDermott may not be a great coach, there are certain quarterbacks that are so great they transcend ineptitude around them.
100%.
And that's what Josh Allen is. I don't think Drake May is that guy. He may be, but there's a reason also why you see guys that are taken at 32 in Lamar Jackson on the Ravens, an organization that is well put together, a very competent coach. What, I mean, historically great GM, whether Newsom or the new guy.
Acosta.
For a generation picking the right players.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson, if he went, you know, to the Cardinals, wouldn't have been as successful.
But probably would have disappeared.
But so with Drake May, and why it's so essential is that they had opportunities in the offseason to spend money. They have nothing but money to spend. And Calvin Ridley is not Randy Moss. He's not Jerry Rice. He's probably not even Troy Brown. But he's a very competent receiver who could have helped us. And you look at the way the offseason has gone, and you have a guy in Ayuk. I saw this, was it ESPN? Or Andrew Callahan, I think, tweeted this. And it was the offer, and it's such a great football trade. The Patriots trade their first pick for Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers' first pick.
The 49ers wouldn't do that. It's not enough.
But then you switch for, so the Patriots will likely be drafting in the top 10.
Yep.
And you get their pick at like 31.
Yeah, and if for Patriots fans, like, that sounds great, and according to the trade value charts, that may, you know, pan out and that may actually work. But the issue is that the 49ers are in a desperation spot. They want to win right this moment. And so acquiring nothing but a first-round pick to them doesn't help, which is why, Curtis, I have cooked up the correct trade for the New England Patriots to make in order to acquire Brandon Ayuk. Would you like to hear it?
I think we all want to hear it.
So this is kind of where I've landed. The 49ers want to win now. The Patriots don't want to give up everything in order to get Brandon Ayuk. Curtis, there's one guy right now unhappy with his contract with the New England Patriots. Who is that?
Me. No, who?
Matthew Judon.
Ooh.
San Francisco 49ers needs a little pass rush help. They lost Eric Armstead in the offseason. They could use another rotational guy. Leonard Floyd is really kind of just a fill-in piece. He's not exactly what they want. My thought, Brandon Ayuk and San Francisco's first-round pick for New England's first-round pick, Matthew Judon, and a 26th third-round pick.
That's a lot.
But that's what it's going to cost. The 49ers want to win now.
What about the cap space for the Niners? Will they be able to fit him in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they would be able. They can give Brandon Ayuk the deal. They just don't want to pay him what he wants to be paid.
Oh.
So that way, you send Matt Judon out there. They get a piece that's going to help them right this moment, plus the draft pick for Brandon Ayuk. You get that draft pick back that you want, so you're not picking in the first round. And you get the legitimate receiver talent, and that money you would give to Matthew Judon for a contract extension and a pay raise, just give it to Brandon Ayuk. Boom, everybody's happy.
I got to tell you, I hope Jonathan's listening, because Shime's better than, what's-his-face, Elliot Wolf already. So,
look at this.
Well done.
I'm wheeling and dealing.
I think that's a great deal. Well, if you want to join us this morning, we're taking you till noon. Ken is in Cooperstown, and I tease it, but I don't think people would want to listen to him. He's going to call in at some point. I won't tell you when, so we don't lose the audience. It's 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Patriots camp starts this week. Sox lost last night. Nobody watched it. It was a grand slam by Freddie Freeman that ruined a great night by Nick Pivetta. You'll get all the details from Joe Braverman right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, as Curtis just mentioned, Red Sox opened their second half of the season with a 4-1 loss to the Dodgers in L.A. last night. Sox led most of the way off of Jaren Duran's fifth-inning solo home run, but Brennan Bernardino allowed the go-ahead grand slam to Freddie Freeman in the eighth inning. This was after intentionally walking Will Smith, the batter before. The Sox will try and rebound in Game 2 of this three-game series tonight. Tyler Murray and Lou Maloney have the call from Dodger Stadium at 7:15 on the Shaw's Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Brian Bale will get the start for the Sox opposite Justin Robleski for L.A. Rob Bradford will get everything started with the MassMutual pregame show at 6:15. MassMutual Insurance Planning Investments. Third round of the Open Championship currently taking place at Royal Troon in Scotland. It's still Shane Lowry on top at 7 under par. He'll be the last group to tee off at 10:45. Tied for second is Justin Rose and Daniel Brown. Rose will tee off at 10:35. Thurston Lawrence, has a 5-under through 7 rounds to get himself tied for 4th with Billy Horschel, Dean Burmester, and Scottie Scheffler at 2-under. The Summer League Celtics fell to the Mavericks yesterday 101-90, your final score. The final game before the Summer League playoffs will take place tomorrow against the Hornets. Tip-off scheduled for 5 o'clock elsewhere in basketball. Team USA will have another Olympic tune-up this afternoon in London against South Sudan. Kevin Durant is questionable after practicing for the first time Friday as he recovers from a right calf injury. In the NFL, the Ravens have signed former Bears Pro Bowl safety Eddie Jackson to a 1-year deal, and the Revolution return to action to face FC Dallas from Gillette Stadium tonight at 7:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I don't need to be anything other than a specialist.
I don't know if there's a God. That's outside my pay grade. I hope that'd be good. But if there was a reason or to believe, it is so divine how the end of the best season takes you to the best sports season. Mm-hmm. So like while you're feeling melancholy, when you get up, when Chime and I do, and we love it, the sunrise is a little later every day these days. So it used to be bright at 5:10. Now it's about a half hour later. And so, you know, at this stage of my commute, I see the sunrise over the Charles. It is gorgeous. As for all of our flaws, this is the most beautiful city on the planet. It is spectacular. But when the days get a little shorter and you see the brisk fall air coming in and you start feeling sad about your 8 o'clock sunsets and the just perfect, this summer has been A+.
Oh, it's been so good.
Awesome. And just last night, I mean, I wasn't at Noah Kahan. Courtney says Kahan. How do you say it?
I thought it was Kahan, but I think it might just be Kahn. I don't know.
Well, how
like
does
James
he say
Kahn.
It?
He doesn't really say his name.
Is he an ex-Kahn?
No.
Okay, good.
Great guy from Vermont.
We love Vermont.
Actually lived in Watertown for a bit.
I mean, I think that should be on the sign. I mean, who else would be more famous that lived in Watertown?
It's true.
So either way, as you get ready for, you know, school and, you know, all the awful preparation for pumpkin spice lattes, we have football on the horizon, and it is the greatest thing in the world. Just thinking about those Sundays, because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I hit December, I start, like, mentally preparing for the end of football, and it is so bleak.
It's miserable. That is the worst time of year, when football's ending, and it's, like, just frigid outside. It is miserable.
And it's the worst. You know, I was rooting against the Chiefs. You know, you're watching the Super Bowl. And at least if the team you hate loses, then you're like, okay, this will be a fun offseason.
Some solace.
Like when in 2021, so year after Brady won with the Bucks, and the Chiefs were up by like 21 points at home against the Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, God, Mahomes is going to win again. This sucks. And then they had that awful gag job. Oh, what a great offseason. And we almost had it again, if not for the awful refereeing in the final minutes of the AFC Championship. But nonetheless, I've obviously moved past it. This is getting ready for the best time of the year. Football season is upon us. We have Bill O'Brien taking over at the Heights. We have Gerard Mayo taking over for the New England Patriots. And we were talking a lot, you know, about how to improve the team. I don't think it's, you and I were saying yesterday on the Greg Hill Show, it's not insane to say this team could win 7 games.
Absolutely not. As currently constituted, this team could absolutely win 7 games. I mean, you just look at last year. There were 3 games in particular that you probably could have won with just average quarterback play. The game against the Giants, the game against the Chargers, and the game against the Commanders. Right? Like, you win all 3 of those games with just average to above average quarterback
play. I would even maybe say not the worst.
Yeah, not the worst.
You could be slightly below average.
Especially that Colts game. You're on the 5-yard line, and we've talked about this so many times. That might be the worst interception I have ever seen thrown in my entire life.
So we were at the Strega for Courtney's Basic Brunch. Great time.
Awesome time.
And I was trying to get home so I could, you know, with the James man, and so I'm in my car, and the game sucked. God, was it awful.
Oh, it's terrible.
And I had my screen on my dash sitting at a light, and then my phone, because the game must have been delayed on the YouTube TV app. So I'm getting texts from you from, like, I swear, it was like 30 texts in a row. And I didn't know what the texts were about because I was like, F off, F off, F off. Let me see what's going on. I will remember I was right across from the W Hotel in downtown Boston at a traffic light, just sitting there. A guy finally honked. Like, I didn't know what to do. I have never seen something as bad as that.
It was remarkable.
It was pooping your bed on national television.
And for, as you know, the hater of Mac Jones that I am, you can take this mental image to your grave. I was sitting there in Strega, giggling like a schoolgirl with a glass of Prosecco in my hand. I was
That is the
thrilled.
Smell of victory.
It was tremendous. It was the moment I knew. I was like, no one can argue me anymore. This is it. I've officially won the argument. There is no more debate. He stinks.
You were Bill Belichick with the orange juice.
Yeah, better. It was better. I had a big-ass smile on my face. That's right. The difference.
And you don't waste good Prosecco with OJ.
Yeah, no.
So that moment was really, I mean, if you want to talk about what the dividing line is for why the Patriots find themselves today with, you know, you can go back to the quarterback and all that. But in reality, Ken and I, a couple years ago, did a Saturday show. The Patriots were getting ready to play in the wild card game in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it felt like, wow, all right, year one was going to be clunky. They had to get, it's like getting out of Afghanistan. There's no easy way to end a war. You know, probably could have done it better than we did. But either way, you're gone. And then you start rebuilding. And you're in year one of a rookie quarterback, 10-7, headed to the playoffs. And you even could have, that Dolphins game, you should have been able to win. I mean, there were wins on the board.
Yep.
At halfway through that year, you were the one seed in the AFC. So you're sitting back like, all right. You know, Tom won it all, but he was going to be better earlier. Bill is going to take a little bit more time, and it looks like they have their quarterback, they have their future. And then everything that happened from the end of that show until this past winter was wrong. They literally were, after having a 20-year, just absolute incredible streak, they just started.
You have to get cold at some point, Curtis.
I mean,
you can't be hot forever.
They were doubling on 11, getting threes. And it really is amazing to see just how bad it got. And now you sit here and you have Jerod Mayo taking over. Anybody who says they know what he's going to be is just full of it. Jerod Mayo is going to be a direct result of how good Drake May is. I don't see in any situation that the defense is a liability. They might be slightly not as good as last year. But the quarterbacks the defense played against last year was also something you should put into account when looking at their defense. So even if they are slightly less successful. But I have the Patriots well over 4.5 wins. I think that this team is going to be not a contender, but not out of it. Like, I think they're going to be in that odd sort of no man's land of the NFL where they can win most Sundays. Like, week one, okay? I know this is old school Mike Francesa, but
no.
Week one against Joe Burrow. Burrow's first game back. Do you think Burrow's going to play a bunch in the preseason?
No.
I would say maybe not at all.
Yeah, there's a chance he doesn't play a single snap in the preseason.
I would say over-under is 1.5 series from Joe Burrow in the preseason.
Mm, yeah, I might take the under.
Me too. So, like, if he gets on the field and they get a touchdown, I would just put him away. Bye. See you later.
Yep.
Talk to you in a couple weeks. So, you're week one, Joe Burrow out for a year, gets back on the field. If the Patriots win that game 24-21, I would not be shocked.
Well, and the positive you have for you going into that game, too, is the Bengals' defense stinks. Like, post-Jesse Bates, so they lost Jesse Bates not this past offseason, the offseason before. Last season, without him, that defense stunk. And I love Lou Anarumo, but that defense was a mess last year. And so if there's an opportunity, like, if you start Drake May week one, he has a legitimate opportunity to be like, okay, cool, I get to face a bad defense in my first game ever. This is great. And you could have a legitimate 24-24 game entering the fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, that is absolutely in the realm of possibility.
617-779-7937 if you want to join us on the Pats. I know Shime and I agree on this. If you think Drake May should not play at the start of the season, I would love to know why.
I don't get it. Like, there's a lot of people that believe that. Like, we have heard countless arguments be like, I think they should start Jacoby Brissett. And I think Wiggy said it best when it's like, live fire is the best way to learn. Like, you got to get out there, take live reps, and you'll figure it out. Especially if you know it's your job, you're not going to lose it, you're in no danger of losing it. This is simply for you to learn and get better. Then live reps is the best way to do it.
And I don't, like, obviously he's not going to be, quote, ready.
No. Nobody is ready when they take their first NFL snap. Not a single player on the planet. It's just not how it works.
Right. And I would also say, you're going to have to learn these things at some point. And I go back to Peyton Manning. He was not ready in year one. He was on a team that was not ready to compete. They went, I think, 3-13, and he set an NFL record with, I think, 28 interceptions. Did it damage him? Did it ruin his career?
Nope.
I mean, the only thing it's going to impact is your, like, you know, your stats at the end. You're going to have all these interceptions, but who gives a damn? Nobody's looked back on Peyton Manning's career as a failure because
Brett Favre has the most interceptions thrown in NFL history. Nobody cares.
Right. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And
exactly.
Jacoby Brissett is just such a meh. Like, he's a nice guy. He seems like a great guy in the locker room. Everybody's going to like him, but I don't understand the upside in delaying Drake May. If he can do it, if he's smart, if he's what everybody tells us he's going to be, then if you have an awful, if like what I hear from Ken and others, if you have an awful offensive line, you're going to get the guy hurt. Well, then that means Jacoby Brissett's going to get hurt. So Drake May is going to go in anyway.
And also I would counter with, well, look at the Cincinnati Bengals. When they started Joe Burrow his rookie season, he got hurt after four or five games. They saw some potential in him. Oh, and then they got a top five draft pick so they could take Ja'Marr Chase and pair him with Joe Burrow for the rest of time.
Right.
Like, that's not a terrible thing. Like, if Drake May plays the first 4 weeks and he gets hurt, against Miami or the Jets or something, okay. Well, right. Like it happens, at least you got to see him in live reps, and we got to at least have some semblance of an idea of what he could possibly be.
Right. So that's on the table, 617-779-7937, if you want to discuss the Patriots' start to the season. We have audio here. I think, Joe, you got this. So adding to the list, at the start of the show, you heard Tom Pelissero on the Rich Eisen show discussing Bill Belichick's desire to return. And, you know, I heard across the street Paul Perillo the other day, and I like Paul, but he's a Patriots, you know, works for the Patriots, and he's scoffing at the newfound news stories that are getting out there about Bill Belichick returning to coaching. And I'm like, of course he's going to have people talking on his behalf. Bill Belichick is not done coaching. He wants to return to coaching. It wasn't his choice this past offseason that he didn't coach. And here's what Jeremy Fowler at ESPN said the other day.
I think Bill will be back in. I do. I don't think the coaching pool is going to be overly strong next year. They're good candidates, of course, but Belichick, I think, will be in more of a position of power than he was a year ago, and I think the shock value is still high, like what just happened in New England and why did it fall apart, and do we really want to give Bill Belichick all this control at his age, you know? But like if Philly opens, it's just a perfect fit for me, in my opinion, you know? I think he would want that job in the worst way. Eagles in Dallas.
Got it.
Just because, like, look, big names ready to win now. Right. Philly, ready to win. Dallas, ready to win. Coaches that know that and have to get it done in a ready to win situation. Nick Sirianni and Mike McCarthy, they're both in that situation. So if one of those opens or both opens, I could certainly see it. You know, the Joneses have a longstanding relationship with Bill Belichick. You know, I could see it happening.
So the only part of that that you could get me with it that is somewhat unseemly is that those guys are currently employed. And if Bill is tacitly allowing his people to tell others that he'd want their jobs, my guess is Bill Belichick wouldn't be a huge fan of that. But we all know Bill's a hypocrite. I mean, get in line. Who in sports isn't a hypocrite when it doesn't serve their best interests? So it's going to be fascinating all year to see Tom and Bill in their new roles. And I know you and Courtney think that he's not coming back to coaching.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Maybe restate that for this audience that may not know this. So, Shyam, why do you believe Bill Belichick is done as an NFL head coach?
Well, I think in large part, I don't think teams are going to want him going forward. You saw it this offseason. The only team that even had interest in him was the Atlanta Falcons, and that's because the owner had interest. No, nobody in that front office actually had any interest in Bill Belichick. And so I'm not sure if there's going to be a whole lot of interest there. I think those teams that are ready-made to win would rather hire a guy that'll be there more long-term than Bill Belichick, and I think he's just going to get comfortable. Like, I think he's going to get to a point where he gets to talk football, so he has his outlet. He gets to talk to actual players. He gets to look good for people instead of being the guy that everybody hates because he won't talk to media and he won't say anything and he's grumpy and blah, 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 blah. And I think he's going to enjoy this new life, and he's still going to have an outlet to football, being with the shows and Pat McAfee and stuff like that. So I think ultimately Bill is done. I think he's gonna find joy in where he's at, and it's gonna kind of be the end of it.
So you think there's a chance he's offered a position and he just says no?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if a team like you know, your Carolinas or Atlanta comes back to him and be like, hey, we really want you to come coach, and he's like, nah, I'm good. Because I think Fowler has a point, right? If the Eagles or Cowboys offered him a job, it's hard for me to believe that he wouldn't take it. My thing is I don't think those best teams are going to offer him a job. The only offers he's going to get are from teams that he wouldn't want. And so I think that's where things won't line up, and that's how he'll just kind of stay out.
Yeah, I think Bill is, you don't do what he's done for as long as he's done it, because after, what, 5 Super Bowls, he was the greatest coach of all time. And that was 2017, these 2016 season after Super Bowl 51. So he was already the most decorated coach in the Super Bowl era. And then he still coached another 10 years. I just, to me, if Shula wasn't involved, I always go back to, like, that 07 season, I wish it had a better ending because there were so many moments in it.
You,
like,
and me too. You,
like,
and me both.
Like the Monday night game in Baltimore. I only know this day because it was my mom's birthday. It was December 3rd. And one of the more bizarre games where you had the disastrous debacle of Tony Kornheiser in the booth for Monday Night Football, which was just awful. But he's in there with Tirico and Don Shula, who was in the booth the entire night representing the 72 perfect Dolphins. The Patriots obviously were undefeated. Big favorites against the Ravens entering that game, and Rex Ryan's defense did a great job, and, you know, Ray Lewis and Suggs and all those guys at the top of their game, and some bad calls and some craziness at the end, and the Patriots won it. And I just think about that guy who has been so public in his disdain for Bill Belichick, how his kids have been so public in their disdain for Bill. He's not going to leave. What is it, 13? How many games does he need to win?
I want to say it's 13. But
it's 2 seasons worth pretty easily in today's NFL with 17 games. There's no way in hell Bill Belichick walks away and says no. Now, you're right. Maybe there is some sort of a bad feeling about Bill Belichick that these organizations all agree with the Atlanta Falcons, whereas I think that the lack of a job this past offseason had far more to do with Bill and the rest of the NFL saying to the Crafts, F you, you're going to pay $30 million for Bill Belichick to do nothing, just like we had to pay all our coaches full while you hired them without a title on your staff.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Robert, and 14 wins for Bill to tie 15 to take the lead.
Wow, remember when that was like, this feels more and more like Tiger and Jack. At one point it felt like it was going to happen without a problem.
Then now it feels like a giant chasm.
Now it feels insurmountable.
And you bring up Robert Kraft, but like, I think he is another reason why Bill may not get a job. Like, I think he has talked to owners and he's like, hey, like, don't hire this guy. He has been, and things may have changed in some owners' view with the release of the Dynasty documentary, and people can kind of see through the Kraft's crap when it comes to just mudslinging at Bill on the way out, just like this town has done to every Red Sox manager known to man, basically. And it's just, I'm curious to see if another owner would kind of go against the Crafts. Like, maybe one of the younger owners that doesn't really care as much about what Robert has to say. But like a guy like Jerry Jones, do you really think he would be like, hey, Robert, I'm hiring Bill?
Like, I think they don't like each other. Jerry and Robert, that would be, if Bill went to the Cowboys, that would be a middle finger to the Crafts, because those,
it's Parcells all over again.
Right. That's part of the reason Parcells went there, because he knows those two don't get along.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, get along. I mean, I'm sure
they get your damn act together.
Right. And I would say also that is wild. So we need 16 to take the lead. All
15
time.
To take the win.
15.
Lead. Yep.
So if he has, so 2-7 win seasons. So let's say you go 5-12.
You need to go 10-7.
And then 9-8. That's still not enough.
Correct.
So it could be 3 years.
Yeah.
It's wild. Think about those games that they had this past season and how easy that would be. My goodness. So,
and that's exactly, I mean, you look at that last season schedule, right? You just look, there's a 4-game stretch right there where it's Washington, it's the Colts, it's the Chargers, it's the Giants. You lose all of those games by 4 points or less, except the Chargers game, you lost 6-0. So a touchdown or less in every single game. You could have won any of those if you just had not the worst quarterback play in history.
And my goodness, that is so wild. 617-779-7937. Talking Pats this morning. Camp is about to open. Bill and Tom are gone, but we're still here talking about the team. Good morning, Chris and Groton. How are you?
Hey, guys. I was just thinking, you know, if Bill goes somewhere else, I think he has to have a good succession plan as part of his pitch to the new team. I was just wanted to get your thoughts on who you think a good assistant coach or coordinator would be for Bill to line up to bring with him. I'll hang up and get your thoughts. Thanks.
No problem. Who is a good assistant coach for Bill to bring with him?
Well, see, I think that's
not
another...
Not his kids. Go ahead.
Isn't that another hang-up, too, though, for teams? Because wasn't there rumors, like, when he was, like, getting ready to possibly accept a job in Atlanta that, like, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge were going to be following him through the door?
Right.
Like, that's... I think teams hate that. They're like, we want Bill, but we don't want those other jabronis coming through the door.
Well, the irony is that I think the Crafts would have been fine with Bill if he didn't have those jabronis. I think
True.
That was really where the rubber met the road in
yeah.
terms of the disdain and the distance between those two parties, where you had nobody disputes Bill's ability to coach a football team.
No, nobody. I still think he can at least coach a football team.
But his ego is massive.
Huge.
The only thing more impressive than his resume is his ego. And what he did here was alienate the greatest player he'll ever coach. By the way, Lawrence Taylor back in the news for trying to be with a underage girl again. Like, does he brag about this guy? Like, knowing who he is? Like, piece of filth? Like, anyway, and that's either here nor there. But that story gets totally buried. Bizarre. Either way, I think it would have to be Bill accepting another team's next guy. And that person working with Bill.
So like a team that already has a young assistant coach.
Right.
And they're like, hey, Bill, you come in for 2 years. You get your record. You get out the door. We promote this guy.
Right. I would say the thing that would be the most logical destination would be an organization that has a young, up-and-coming offensive coach.
Like a Bobby Slowick.
Bobby Slowick handles the offense. That's their side of the ball. Bill's in charge of the defense and all that. And then he is a mentor. And they all believe it's 3 years or the record, whichever comes first. Boom.
Which is like, again, that's why this offseason seemed like the perfect opportunity, right? He could have gone to, Atlanta fumbled the bag because you could have brought in Zach Robinson as your offensive play caller, who, by all accounts, probably has a head coaching job in 2 or 3 years because he's a Sean McVay disciple. He's a good offensive mind, yada, yada, yada. You bring in Bill. He does the dirty work for a couple years with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. You get him the record, he goes out the door, and Zach Robinson becomes the head coach. And instead, you hired Raheem Morris.
Right.
Like, you just straight up fumbled the bag.
Well, but also, look at that organization and what they did in the draft. I mean, the people that were holding on to the people that were holding on to power there obviously were intimidated by Bill Belichick.
Yes.
And that's going to happen. I mean, listen, when you're Bill Belichick and you've won at the rate that he's won, you have a lot of enemies across the NFL.
Without a doubt.
A lot of people that want to see you squirm looking for a gig because you made them squirm for a generation. We see on this 617-779-7937. Join us on the Patriots Bills future, what you're looking forward to at camp, all of it. Shime in for Ken on Ken and Curtis.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
I don't think Drake May has a shot. I think it was Chad Graff. I was reading his story on The Athletic, and he said 35% chance that Drake May is the opening day starter, which certainly isn't walking a plank and saying I think it's going to happen, but I don't think it's even close to that. I mean, he has to win by friggin' knockout and injury to be starting on day one.
Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
I've had a long week, busy week. I know I'm, maybe I'm not well rested, but did Jacoby Brissett wake up as Peyton Manning? Like,
No.
Who is he to say that it's his job, basically, with barring injury? I mean,
it's so dumb. Why? Why would you give the job to Jacoby Brissett? You drafted this kid third overall. It's not like you used a 32nd pick or a second round pick. You drafted him third.
And where
overall.
Did they draft Mac Jones in the first round?
15.
That would be five times lower in the first round.
That is correct. Good
and
math.
Did he start week one?
He sure did.
Huh.
And
did
and
Cam Newton
on the
did
roster.
He accomplish a little bit more in the NFL than Jacoby Brissett?
I would say, Curtis, a lot more. I believe he was even an MVP in this league.
I think he made it to a Super Bowl.
He did. He actually lost to Peyton Manning.
Fun fact, Cam Newton won as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. and Rex Grossman.
Yeah, that's true. Sexy Rexy.
Isn't it obscene that Aaron Rodgers only went to one Super Bowl?
It's such an underachievement.
Drew Brees, too.
Right, but Drew Brees is not as talented as Aaron Rodgers.
Well, no, Drew Brees went to two. He lost to the Colts, right? No, he beat the Colts, didn't he?
He only went to one.
Oh, he did.
8-9 right. In the playoffs.
He beat the Colts in the Super Bowl.
That's yeah, the Saints definitely underachieved. But they also, I mean, not to say that the refs hate St. Louis, but, I mean, New Orleans.
That was that call.
They got cooked a couple times.
They got hosed on that one.
Whereas Aaron Rodgers, I will never get over the fact that he's standing against the Bucs. Great comeback in the NFC title game at home 2020. And there is you will never cross the street in Boston with more space than he had to scamper into the end zone. And he runs to his right and chucks it into the ground short of the end zone of the 1 yard line. And then they kick a field goal to make an 8-point game a 5-point game.
Dumb. The dumbest decision. That's
unbelievable. But that's.
And I love LaFleur, but like I look back on some of his decisions too, and I'm like, what an idiot you are.
Like Aaron Rodgers has. I firmly believe the game against the Niners, was it last year or the year before, where they scored on their first drive. It was the divisional round of the playoffs. Yep. They were in Green Bay hosting it. And the 49ers were being quarterbacked by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
And the Packers went down the field, went up 7-0. They didn't score again the rest of the game.
Oh, yeah, they lost that game 10-7. That was like the snow game, right? I think that was 2 years ago, yeah.
And I believe that it was just Aaron Rodgers proving a point. Like, I don't have enough weaponry to win at all, so I'm going to, you know, just basically D around all day.
Yeah, I mean, in that regard, I don't necessarily disagree with him at some points. Like, they never used a first-round pick on an offensive weapon player his entire career there.
Look at what the Patriots did with Tom.
Yeah, no, I agree, but Rodgers also didn't have Belichick.
Okay, well, okay, right.
He was stuck with Mike McCarthy and Matt LaFleur and, yeah.
I mean, Mike McCarthy's
when it comes to me, they don't know shit.
When Mike McCarthy won a playoff game with another organization. Won a Super Bowl with the Packers and won a playoff game with the Cowboys. Not Fair. A lot of guys that can say that.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's an idiot, but.
Yeah, he's a boob. But.
He is a gigantic boob. But either way, that was Tom Curran on with Jones and Mago discussing the future of the Patriots that we played at the outset of this segment. And that's clear. I mean, Tom Curran has a pipeline to the crafts. So I will not dispute that the information he has is accurate.
Correct.
I just disagree with that. Plan entirely
strongly,
like, and I feel like, so let's say Jacoby Brissett starts week one and they lose 28-17.
Yep.
Throws one interception, one touchdown pass, 170 yards passing. Ramondre plays okay. The defense does the best they can, but you know, a late interception cost them. That is as dead as a doornail. What are you talking about with that team? Like, it's none of it is interesting or relevant to the future of the organization. Drake May week one, good, bad, or indifferent. He'll be like you and I on the golf course. There'll be one play where he'll be like, "Oh, that's what we have him here for."
If Drake May starts the game, there is at least some element of buzz.
Right.
Win or lose, there is an element of buzz post game.
Right.
If Jacoby Brissett starts that game and you lose, zero buzz.
Right.
There is nothing going on.
Right. Drake May is Four Loko. Jacoby Brissett is O'Douls.
There you go.
It's just a totally different vibe entirely. And the other thing is, we talk a lot about, you know, where the Patriots have fallen. They're not that talented, all that. But the Bills are a totally different organization. A team you beat last year.
Yes, you did, in your own house.
With Mac Jones.
His best game in his NFL career. And I was at that game. I could not believe my eyes watching the entirety of that game.
Maybe he played well knowing you were there.
Well, so that's my thing. That's what I said to Ken. I said, you need to send me to every Patriots game going forward because Mac Jones only played great because I was there. It was in spite of me.
Right. And so the Bills are no great shakes. They've lost. I mean, Steph Diggs was the reason they even came back in the game against you at home, and he's gone. The Jets, everybody's darling, you know, Aaron Rodgers, all these things. I don't think the Jets are going to be a great team. I've said that. The Dolphins are a very good team.
Yeah.
I think this is the year the Dolphins break through. I like what they've been building there. I think that they're, you know, talented. But the AFC East is not what we thought it was the last couple years. Especially, we didn't know Aaron Rodgers was going to get hurt in the first drive of the series of the season. And, you know, I think the Dolphins have always had your number, even when, you know, you've been good.
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins are going to go 2-0 against you this year.
Yep.
But it's not some insurmountable conference. The Chiefs played crappy half of last season, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
It is open for you to be decent. And I go back to it, Chime. You and I were there. Great picture of you, me, and Courtney in the suite.
Yes.
Only the best games, Joe Braverman, for this guy. We were at preseason game number 3. last year at Gillette Stadium. That was one
against
tough,
the Houston Texans.
Toughest ticket in town.
Well, a real tough ticket.
It was like center,
ooh, buddy.
It was like center court game five NBA Finals type of seat.
Talk about sir. Elite status.
Oh,
you're damn right.
Oh, and I got free nachos. I mean, you tell me. I mean, you don't think the company takes care of me? Hello.
I got to cut the cake.
You sure did.
That was great.
Then you cut the cheese.
Sure did.
And so watching that game, which was just an abomination, I think Rivers St. Mark's was better football. And I'm sitting there. And last year, did anybody see any part of that game? Did anybody preseason last year say, you know what? The Texans. I said that night, I said, is Nick Caserio alive? Is he in witness protection? Like, he left here and we just thought he was a total bumbling moron.
I'm pretty sure I even, like, looked at you or looked over to, or it might have been Jones or something, and I was like, is that really C.J. Stroud out there? Like, that doesn't look like C.J. Stroud. No. He played horrendously bad in that game.
He was running for his life.
Yep.
And then you see that team won a playoff game.
That team was like, what, 11-6?
11-6. They had D'Amico Ryans, the coach of the year. Nick Caserio all of a sudden is, you know, Vince Lombardi. I mean, the whole organization is in a different trajectory today.
Yeah.
Because they hit on the quarterback.
Yep.
And everything fell into place. And I believe C.J. Stroud started week one.
He did. And that's the thing, too. And that's why letting Drake May start week one is totally fine. C.J. Stroud, if you go back and you kind of watch his tape too, he was extremely cautious the first couple weeks. He didn't throw an interception, I think, until like week four. And he was very kind of cautious with the ball. He was fine with taking a sack instead of throwing an interception. And that's okay. And he was learning on the job, but he was throwing touchdowns. They were winning football games. And then next thing you know, it's like, okay, I can start taking a little bit more risks. I know I understand where I'm at compared to these defenses. I know where I can attack and where I can't attack. And sometimes it's going to bite me in the ass. And it did a couple times, but not all that much. Yeah, I think his first interception was like a pick in the end zone. So that's going to happen. But like, those are learning experiences. That's how you find your limits. That's how you find kind of where you are compared to everybody else. And that's why Drake May needs to start right away.
I agree. 617-779-7937. We'll hear from Ken Laird later in the show, live from Cooperstown, New York. We're talking Pats. Join us.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. Don't call it a comeback.
I've been here for years. I don't think Drake May has a shot. I think it was Chad Graff. I was reading his story on The Athletic, and he said 35% chance that Drake May is the opening day starter, which certainly isn't walking the plank and saying I think it's going to happen, but I don't think it's even close to that. I mean, he has to win by friggin' knockout and injury to be starting on day one. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
I'm gonna knock you out. I've had a long week, busy week. I know I'm, you know, maybe I'm not well rested, but did Jacoby Brissett wake up as Peyton Manning? Like,
no.
Who is he to say that it's his job, basically, with barring injury? I mean,
it's so dumb. Why? Why would you give the job to Jacoby Brissett? You drafted this kid third overall. It's not like you used a 32nd pick or a second round pick. You drafted him third.
And where did they draft Mac Jones in the first round?
15.
That would be five times lower in the first round.
That is correct. Good math.
Did he start week one?
He sure did.
Huh. And did Cam Newton accomplish a little bit more in the NFL than Jacoby Brissett?
I would say, Curtis, a lot more. I believe he was even an MVP in this league.
I think he made it to a Super Bowl.
He did. He actually lost to Peyton Manning.
Fun fact, Cam Newton won as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. and Rex Grossman.
Yeah, that's true. Sexy Rexy.
Isn't it obscene that Aaron Rodgers only went to one Super Bowl?
It's such an underachievement.
Drew Brees, too.
Right, but Drew Brees is not as talented as Aaron Rodgers.
Well, no, Drew Brees went to two. He lost to the Colts, right? No, he beat the Colts, didn't he?
He only went to one.
Oh, he did.
8-9 in the playoffs.
He beat the Colts in the Super Bowl.
That's the Saints definitely underachieved, but they also, I mean, not to say that the refs hate St. Louis, but, I mean, New Orleans.
That call.
They got cooked a couple
times.
They
got hosed on that one.
Whereas Aaron Rodgers, I will never get over the fact that he's standing against the Bucs, great comeback in the NFC title game at home 2020, and there is you will never cross the street in Boston with more space than he had to scamper into the end zone, and he runs to his right and chucks it into the ground short of the end zone of the one-yard line. And then they kick a field goal to make an 8-point game a 5-point game.
Dumb. The dumbest decision. That's
unbelievable. But that's
all. And I love LaFleur, but like I look back on some of his decisions too, and I'm like, what an idiot you are.
Like Aaron Rodgers has, I firmly believe the game against the Niners, was it last year or the year before, where they scored on their first drive. It was the divisional round of the playoffs. Yep. They were in Green Bay hosting it. And the 49ers were being quarterbacked by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
And the Packers went down the field, went up 7-0. They didn't score again the rest of the game.
Oh, yeah, they lost that game 10-7. That was like the snow game, right? I think that was 2 years ago, yeah.
And I believe that it was just Aaron Rodgers proving a point. Like, I don't have enough weaponry to win at all, so I'm going to, you know, just basically D around all day.
Yeah, I mean, in that regard, I don't necessarily disagree with him at some points. Like, they never used a first-round pick on an offensive weapon player his entire career there.
Look at what the Patriots did with Tom.
Yeah, no, I agree, but Rodgers also didn't have Belichick.
Okay, well, right.
He was stuck with Mike McCarthy and Matt LaFleur and, yeah.
I mean, Mike McCarthy's
when it comes to me, they don't know
When Mike McCarthy won a playoff game with another organization. Won a Super Bowl with the Packers and won a playoff game with the Cowboys. Not a lot of guys that can say that.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's an idiot, but...
Yeah, he's a boob. But.
He is a gigantic boob. But either way, that was Tom Curran on with Jones and Mago discussing the future of the Patriots that we played at the outset of this segment. And that's clear. I mean, Tom Curran has a pipeline to the crafts, so I will not dispute that the information he has is accurate.
Correct.
I just disagree with that plan entirely.
Strongly.
Like, and I feel like, so let's say Jacoby Brissett starts week one and they lose 28-17.
Yep.
Throws one interception, one touchdown pass, 170 yards passing. Ramondre plays okay. The defense does the best they can, but, you know, a late interception cost them. That is as dead as a doornail. What are you talking about with that team? Like, it's none of it is interesting or relevant to the future of the organization. Drake May week one, good, bad, or indifferent. He'll be like you and I on the golf course. There'll be one play where he'll be like, "Oh, that's what we have him here for."
If Drake May starts the game, there is at least some element of buzz.
Right.
Win or lose, there is an element of buzz post game.
Right.
If Jacoby Brissett starts that game and you lose, zero buzz.
Right.
There is nothing going on.
Right. Drake May is Four Loko. Jacoby Brissett is O'Douls.
There you go.
It's just a totally different vibe entirely. And the other thing is, we talk a lot about, you know, where the Patriots have fallen. They're not that talented, all that. But The Bills are a totally different organization, a team you beat last year.
Yes, you did, in your own house.
With Mac Jones.
His best game in his NFL career. And I was at that game. I could not believe my eyes watching the entirety of that game.
Maybe he played well knowing you were there.
Well, so that's my thing. That's what I said to Ken. I said, you need to send me to every Patriots game going forward because Mac Jones only played great because I was there. It was in spite of me.
Right. And so the Bills are no great shakes. They've lost. I mean, Steph Diggs was the reason they even came back in the game against you at home, and he's gone. The Jets, everybody's darling, you know, Aaron Rodgers, all these things. I don't think the Jets are going to be a great team. I've said that. The Dolphins are a very good team. Yeah. I think this is the year the Dolphins break through. I like what they've been building there. I think that they're, you know, talented. But the AFC East is not what we thought it was the last couple of years. Especially, we didn't know Aaron Rodgers was going to get hurt in the first drive of the series of the season. And, you know, I think the Dolphins have always had your number, even when, you know, you've been good.
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins are going to go 2-0 against you this year.
Yep.
But it's not some insurmountable conference. The Chiefs played crappy half of last season, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
It is open for you to be decent. And I go back to it, Chime. You and I were there. Great picture of you, me, and Courtney in the suite.
Yes.
Only the best games, Joe Braverman, for this guy. We were at preseason game number 3 last year at Gillette Stadium. That was one
against the Houston Texans.
Toughest ticket in town.
Well, a real tough ticket.
It was like it was like center court game 5 NBA finals type of seat.
Talk about elite status.
Oh,
you're damn right.
Oh, and I got free nachos.
Yeah.
You tell me. I mean, you don't think the company takes care of me? Hello.
I got to cut the cake.
You sure did.
That was great.
Then you cut the cheese.
Sure did.
And so watching that game, which was just an abomination, I think Rivers St. Mark's was better football. And I'm sitting there. And last year, did anybody see any part of that game? Did anybody preseason last year say, you know what? The Texans. I said that night, I said, is Nick Caserio alive? Is he in witness protection? Like, he left here and we just thought he was a total bumbling moron.
I'm pretty sure I even, like, looked at you or looked over to, or it might have been Jones or something, and I was like, is that really C.J. Stroud out there? Like, that doesn't look like C.J. Stroud. No. He played horrendously bad in that game.
He was running for his life.
Yep.
And then you see that team won a playoff game.
That team was like, what, 11-6?
11-6. They had D'Amico Ryans, the coach of the year. Nick Caserio all of a sudden is, you know, Vince Lombardi. I mean, the whole organization is in a different trajectory today.
Yeah.
Because they hit on the quarterback.
Yep.
And everything fell into place. And I believe C.J. Stroud started week 1.
He did. And that's the thing, too. And that's why letting Drake May start week 1 is totally fine. C.J. Stroud, if you go back and you kind of watch his tape, too, he was extremely cautious the first couple weeks. He didn't throw an interception, I think, until like week 4. And he was very kind of cautious with the ball. He was fine with taking a sack instead of throwing an interception. And that's okay. And he was learning on the job, but he was throwing touchdowns. They were winning football games. And then next thing you know, it's like, okay, I can start taking a little bit more risks. I know I understand where I'm at compared to these defenses. I know where I can attack and where I can't attack. And sometimes it's going to bite me in the ass. And it did a couple times, but not all that much. Yeah, I think his first interception was like a pick in the end zone. So that's going to happen. But like, those are learning experiences. That's how you find your limits. That's how you find kind of where you are compared to everybody else. And that's why Drake May needs to start right away.
I agree. 617-779-7937. We'll hear from Ken Laird later in the show, live from Cooperstown, New York. We're talking Pats. Join us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Or draft pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.